for you guys and for your for just the privilege of getting to know you. So I just want to firstly say that before I start. So thank you. God's plan from the beginning of time is that we would know him. It says this in Acts. From one man he made every nation of men, that they should inhabit the whole earth. And he determined the time set for them and the exact places where they should live. God did this so that men would seek him and perhaps reach out for him and find him, though he's not far from each one of us. God's plan from the beginning of time is that we would know him. God's plan is that you would know him. God's plan is that you would know him, that you would know him, that you would know him. See, my dad's adopted, and even though he loved his adopted parents, inside of him there was a desire to find his real parents. And a few years ago, he did just that. By finding them, it made sense of who he was and made sense of his life. And each one of us, God has put a desire in our hearts to find out who our Father is. Life does not make sense until we are connected with our Heavenly Father. Without this connection, life is confusing, we're adrift, and life does not make sense. But the Father's heart is even more powerful than this. In God's heart, he wants to reach out to his children. And who are his children? It's you and it's me. And when my son Zach was born, about 3.5 years ago, plus a few months, there's my lovely son over there. When I was told I was going to be a father, I knew that I was going to have a son. And I was thinking, well, I'm going to become a father. And I had no idea what that meant, but you kind of think you know, don't you? And so I was in the delivery ward with Catherine, and Zach appeared for the very first time. And the moment I looked at him, inside my heart was unleashed this incredible love for my son. And of course, my daughter also. But I never knew what was in my heart. And immediately I saw my son, I wanted the very best for him. I wanted to protect him. I wanted him to have a fantastic future. I wanted him to have a great hope. I wanted the very, very best for him. And the same way God's love to the whole world is unleashed upon his world when he said this, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." You see, God's plan through Son Jesus was to reach out to all the world with the love of the Father. The prophet Isaiah said this, "Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel," which as we know means God with us. So with the coming of Emmanuel, God will no longer be distant and unknowable. Instead, he will be knowable and with us. And he wants to lavish and unleash his love upon us. So he sent his son. For unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. And the government will be upon his shoulders. He will be called the Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing, upholding it with justice and righteousness from this time on and forever. And the zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. See, the child that was to come, the child that God has given us, is a wonderful counselor. Isn't that wonderful that he's someone who counts us in a wonderful way? He's a mighty God. He's all-powerful. He's an everlasting father. He's not a father who comes and goes. He's with us forever. He's the Prince of Peace. He brings peace into our lives when there's no peace. And the great encouraging thing is this, is the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. So God himself will establish this. And so God's intention is that through his son Jesus, that we would know him. And Jesus, as I said earlier, is the exact representation of the Father. If you know, want to know what God is like, look at his son. And from the very beginning of time, he put in place a plan that we could and would know him. And you see, God is always looking and devising ways to us to reveal his son to us. He's always saying, I want a relationship with you. I want to know you. I want to get alongside you. And a few years ago, I was in America and I had a bit of time off, and a friend of mine invited me to travel with him up to the Grand Canyon. So we're down in California and we drove up through Arizona. And in America, as you know, it's quite a long way, so you kind of keep traveling, keep going, keep going, keep going. So eventually we stopped quite near the Grand Canyon and we stayed at the equivalent of a bed and breakfast. Got up in the morning and drove towards the national park where the Grand Canyon was. And people told me, when you go to the Grand Canyon, they said, it's massive, you know, it's huge. And I, you know, when people say that to you, you know, they say, when you go to Croke Park, it's huge. And you go, you go to Croke Park, yeah, it's quite big, but it's not huge. Or you go to Wembley Stadium, you think, well, there's something that's massive. You get there and it's like, well, it's kind of, it's big, but it's not huge. And so when I thought I was going to go to the Grand Canyon, I thought, okay, when I get there, it's going to be quite big, but it's not going to be huge. So anyway, we're in the car traveling through the national park, and we came, we began to pick up signs saying Grand Canyon this direction, so we thought, well, it must be this direction. And so we're coming closer and closer to it, and then suddenly we saw the word Grand Canyon Vista, which I was later to find out actually means view. So I thought, excellent, that's where the Grand Canyon is. So we parked the car, and I walked towards the Grand Canyon to the edge of this vista, stood on the edge of it, looked up and went, wow, it's huge. It's absolutely massive. And I was just overwhelmed by the size of it, the extraordinary sight of it. It's an absolutely incredible thing to look at. It's just amazing. And when I saw it, I thought, my gosh, I want to get down right into the base of it. So we drove the car towards this place where we could climb down, begin to climb down into the Grand Canyon. And as we got there, we climbed out the car, and we were told that we shouldn't go down to the Grand Canyon because by the time you get down there and back, it'll be dark. So I thought, fantastic, what a great challenge. So we began our journey. So we climbed down this kind of this big rock, and we began to go down this path, which is kind of like this. Went on forever and ever. And then we went to this thing called the Indian Garden, and we got lower and lower and lower. And so eventually, I stood on the base of the Grand Canyon, and I just began to look up. And I just saw around this incredible, you know, rock formations. And I just felt really small. I know I am quite small, but I felt really small. And as I stood there, I began to look around and just began to take it all in. And as I stood there, I felt a whisper in my heart saying, the Lord said to me, he goes, when I created this, I knew one day you'd be standing here. And suddenly I was connected with Almighty God. Little old me suddenly recognized the creator of all this, because he knew that when he created this earth, that I would be here and that you'd be here. See, God is devising ways in which he can make himself known to us to get our attention, to get into relationship with him. And in the story of Luke, it tells us a story just as that. It says, and there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. And the shepherds were doing what they normally do. They're living out in the fields, it says, and they're looking at sheep. That's what they do. It was an ordinary evening. It's kind of what they did every single day. And the shepherds in those days were the outcasts of society. They were despised because they weren't really part of how it should be. When everyone else was going into the temple and they're worshipping and they were going through the ceremonial rituals and things, the shepherds weren't there. They're up in the mountains, up in the hills, looking after sheep. so considered ceremonially unclean. So they were outcasts, they were separate from the people. And to be a shepherd was an undesirable job because it was poorly paid. It was long, lonely hours. It was very low paid. There was no status. And it was a very dangerous job because you had to protect the sheep from the lions and the bear. And it's to these people that God showed, firstly, that he was coming to this world. God chose to associate not only with the religious and powerful, but he identified himself with the meek and the lonely. Those who had no reputation and no representation, he came for them. You see, the Lord has a special place in the heart for the shepherd because he became one. The Lord has a special place in the heart for the outsider because he became one. And God revealed his son first to the shepherds. And here we see a demonstration of the kingdom of God that was going to be coming and inaugurated through Jesus. The first will be last, and the last will be first. God honored those the world dishonored. He revealed himself to the last first. And on that evening, an angel of the Lord appeared to the shepherds. The glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified, as you and I would be. Huge, great angel suddenly appearing out of the sky, speaking to you and to me. But the angel's response was this: do not be afraid. This is good news, it's great joy, and it's for all people. It was the declaration of the gospel. The good news has come. Jesus has come to the world. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. And the arrival of this Jesus ushers in God's salvation plan. Jesus came to bring us life and life to the full. He came to conquer sin and death and to provide each one of us here with a future and a hope. That's good news, isn't it? That's the good news of the kingdom. It's true. It's the good news. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. And you see, in that statement, Luke is describing the one who was to come and the one who came. He was a Savior born to the world. And Luke is using the word Savior to say this: the same attributes in Jesus also belong to God. The same attributes that belong to God also belong to Jesus. In other words, Jesus and God are the same. God has come. Emmanuel is here. God is with us. The Savior has come. And secondly, he says he is the Christ. And what he's saying is this: he is the Messiah, he is anointed king, he is the one that the prophets spoke about. And Jesus later on in his life identifies himself as the anointed one, as the king. And as we know very well in this church, he says this: the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he's anointed me to preach good news to the poor. God is saying, I'm the anointed one, the king is here. And finally, it says this. It says, the Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. And the Lord refers to the Old Testament Lord as Yahweh, and the New Testament is the Lord. But what he's basically saying here is that Yahweh and Lord are the same. The God of the Old Testament is also the God of the New. And so God has come. He is the anointed king. The Lord of Lords is here. And you'll find a baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger. And suddenly a great company of the heavenly hosts appeared, and the angels praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on peace to those whom his favor rests. God's glory has come. The glory of heaven has come to the earth. The Son of God is breaking into the darkness of this world. The people are walking in darkness have seen a great light. And to those whose God's favor rests, he brings peace to men. And this peace that God brings to Jesus is a different peace than that of the world. And Jesus later on says this, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." See, those who are troubled and afraid, Jesus brings his peace. And your Heavenly Father wants to connect you tonight with his peace. He is the Prince of Peace. And when he created the world, he knew one day you would be standing here. He knows you. Will you let him reach out to you that you may know him? And so the shepherds went to Bethlehem and they saw the king. And when they'd seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told about this child. And all who heard were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary pondered up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. And so I just want to go back to the very beginning, the very thing I said at the very beginning. God's plan for the beginning of time is that we would know him. God sent his son Jesus to this earth that we might know him. And Jesus died upon a cross to break the power of sin and the power of death, to open up a door to us that we might know him. And he came also to break the power of things over our lives, that this thing that comes at you about anxiety and fear, so that we might know him. And so tonight's a wonderful story, God's plan from the beginning of time, as that we would know him. Let's pray. So Lord Jesus, I just want to thank you so much for coming to this world. We want to thank you, Father, for sending your son to us and showing us what God is like. I want to thank you, Lord, for the incredible love that you have in your heart for each one of us. I thank you, Lord, for your incredible love for the whole world. We thank you for your love for Haiti, Lord, your love for this nation and for this community and this church. We pray now, Lord, as we more specifically, Lord, that we would capture your heart for this world. In Jesus' precious name, amen. So I'm going to invite up now, the three people are going to come and pray on our behalf. Helen Gordon's going to pray for the Corps and the local community. But Michael O'Toole is going to pray for Ireland, and Peter Gannon's going to pray for the world, including Haiti. So I'm going to invite these guys up. I'm going to get the microphone for them so they can pray into it. Like a nice cream.
I'm going to pray for the church. Father, I just thank you for Core, the church family here. Whether we're married, single, we are all important to you, Jesus. I pray over the Christmas period that we will be able to share your love, Jesus, and hope with family and friends. We thank you, Lord, for John and Catherine, and we're sad to see them leaving after 6 years. We just thank you for the gifts and the talents they brought to this church, Lord, and we pray for their future that you will refresh them first and bless them and guide them to where you want them to work next. We pray for this church, Lord, for Philip and Daphne and the team who will be leading the church in the interim, that the bishop will also have wisdom about appointing a new leader here, somebody who's right for this church to lead us on in what you have planned for us next. And then I wanted to pray for the different parts of the community that the church is involved in. There's a group called Mainly Music. We just pray for the mums and the kids who attend that and the people who are involved with leading that. And for the kids club, that Paddy's involved with the team that you've heard about today. We just ask that you will bless the kids, whatever their ages and whatever their backgrounds, Lord, that you will touch each heart. And for Solace, the ministry for girls after school that Sala runs, and the team there, Lord, we just pray you will influence the lives of those girls. We just thank you for each one of them. You know their names, Lord. And for the prison ministry, we pray for all the guys that the men have contact with. We pray for them, particularly over Christmas when they're away from family and loved ones, Lord, that you will be particularly close to them. We just pray too for the local area, Lord, that you will heal broken hearts and restore families. Amen.
We pray for Ireland, our country. Father, we thank you for this land, this nation. We thank you that in our Constitution, the name of Jesus Christ is honored. We thank you, Lord, that our Constitution places us under the protection of the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But Father, we have fallen short of the ideals that our founding fathers had and the faith in you. We have fallen from that time when we were known as a land of saints and scholars. But we pray, Lord, that you would restore us once again. We pray for leadership in our country, our political leaders, our leaders in society, that they would be people who will stand for what is right, even when it is the difficult thing to do. That they will be given courage to take steps of boldness, to lead in the right way. Pray also and particularly for our spiritual leaders in the church in this land, that they will come forward to speak your word. Pray for a real prophetic voice to rise up in this land and to speak that word of hope and promise for the future. And Father, we pray for the next generation, that they will receive that message of hope, that promise that is in your word. We pray for those who feel lost at this time, whose values in life seem to have collapsed. Their finances, their job, their security, all the security they had in the world is gone. That your word would remind them that you are the way and they would walk in it. And Father, we pray for those who are disillusioned by the lies and deceit that they've heard, but that your word would remind them that you are the truth and they can trust you. And Father, we pray for those who have lost the reason to live, particularly young men who have drawn to suicide, the many people who are depressed and see no reason to live. Father, that your word remind them that there is hope, for you are the life. And Lord Jesus, above all, we pray that those of us who are called by your name, that we would remember your promise that if we humble ourselves, if we turn from our wicked ways, and if we cry out to you and pray, that you will answer, you will hear from heaven, and that you will heal our land. We pray, Lord, that you would heal it. Heal the hearts of the hurting people, that there would be once again your people, they return to you. And Lord, that this would be once again a witness to the nations that you are Lord. And we praise you and we thank you as we pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Father God, I pray for all the communities all over the world, small little communities, that at this time of the year that there's hope. That no matter what their situation is, that they can for one day or for a period just look to you, look to your word, and just believe that there is a new day, that there can be a better time for their lives, their families, and their communities as they look to you. Father, I look to all the great ambassadors, Irish ambassadors, who've travelled all over the world, missionaries and spiritual people and volunteers, and that have touched every little corner of this world, that and the people that they are working with on a day-to-day basis, that we can support them, pray with them, and lift them. Particularly, Father, I lift the community in Haiti, that small island that's just been wrecked over the last year, that we can just look and think about them nearing the anniversary of their 1 year since they had their earthquake there, that people like the unsung heroes, like the Gina Hertys of the world and Haven, and the people who've worked in that island, Dennis O'Brien, his foundation, there's so many people there that are doing works there that they can, and the Bishop and Gladys particularly, and the small little communities that they're that you can touch their lives and the children, and that they will be a new Haiti, will come out of this broken place as they look to you on a daily basis. In the name of our Lord and Saviour, Christ Jesus. Amen.
So I'm going to invite Bethany, who's going to come up and do a reading, which will be fantastic. So, come on.
Where is it?